on both job descriptions. Many clerks go above and beyond these little duties to ensure the judge's court runs smoothly and efficiently. What we're asking of you tonight is to vote in favor of the amendment to the proposed compensation study. We believe an error was made by the company that conducted the study in this single regard. Please allow us to maintain our titles as legal secretaries in the NE6 classification. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Yes.
Judge Tony Malasauskas, I'm not afraid to give out my address too, so 9414 12th place. I think it's the first time this committee room has had six or seven judges here, so we appreciate you giving us time to talk. I remember coming here when I worked for the Corporation Council, and I always thought that the committee members were always open to ideas and try to make the right decision. And I want to say that the judges have always had a good working relationship with the county board, with the county exec, not like some other counties, and we hope that continues. And we're not here to complain, but we're here to tell you that we want our judicial assistants not to be demoted. Give you a little history here. The assistants who are our clerks started as legal secretaries in the year 2000. So they've been classified as legal secretaries since 2000. And at that time, the Wisconsin Supreme Court actually dictated to the counties that judges should have law clerks. And the county worked together with Gail Gantz and the judges, and we gave up that money from the state to get more clerks in the clerk's office to help out the county. And that history has to be told. The other thing, as indicated by the previous speaker, if you look at the duties of the legal secretary and our judicial assistants, they are the same. They're identical. Nothing has changed. And the other thing you should be aware of, we're not union people representing our clerks, but we are their supervisors. Technically, we could fire them. And we are here to make sure that what comes out is the actual truth here. Our people are legal secretaries. There's even an argument that they're paralegals. They should not be demoted. And we're asking you to keep an open mind to that. And I think some of our other judges want to express just a short statement. And I appreciate your time, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Schrader. I'm the old guy from the courthouse, and I live at 4210 95th Street in Pleasant Prairie. I have been a judge for 32 years. I've worked in that building for 45, and I can tell you that this is one of the most shocking things, maybe I'm overseeing in a little bit, when we saw the results of this study. For him, all eight judges to be on board with one idea, I think is really quite remarkable. I think Judge Milosauskas did a nice job of summarizing the problem we had with it. We got a little chance to put something as an addition to the review that the employees had done in their survey last fall, but we had no idea that there was any consideration being given to an actual demotion of these people. That has problems not just from the standpoint that it really isn't fair from our standpoint, but also that it is it's just totally undeserved when you look at the duties of the other positions. And I don't want to be an us versus them, but I was a lawyer, I was district attorney. I've worked with secretaries and the kind of administrative assistants that these other offices have. And I've worked with a clerk, and I can tell you that the duties that our people are doing are identical, and I think in some cases more demanding. And you have to understand, as close as I am to you now, they are to the most dangerous people. Robbers, killers, sexual assailants. That's how close they are to these people. And we were just stunned. All eight of us were just stunned when this review came through. I found out about it, and I think all of the judges did. On Monday morning, the day before your meeting, that was the first notice we had put into motion. So I'm going on too long, but we really strongly urge, we have no problem with the rest of the study, vis-a-vis the clerk's office or anything else, but with this one thing we would ask, that you not promote these people. Thank you.
I guess the old timers get to speak. My name is Michael Wilk. I'm going to give the 912 56th Street across the street address. When judges go for legal and judicial training, we talk to other judges and we ask, well, how are things going with you and your county board? And Kenosha County is unique in the sense that our relationship with the judges with the county board is unique in the sense that you've supported us consistently through the years. And I just want to echo what the other judges have said, that this isn't a finger pointing, it's something else. It's actually a request that you take a look at something that we don't think is right for a decision. Several points. We have a history of cooperating. We know that the county, and I know you all know this, provides the courthouse, provides the staff, provides the supplies, supplemented by the state supplement to 8 judgeships. But we also know there's a history of us cooperating. We had this remodeling, ended up in a beautiful remodeling job. It went on for several years, and the other choice, the judges could have said, well, if the sounds that are going on are all the pounding for 2 years, it'll interfere with the with what's going on in the courthouse. What's going to happen? And we were told it's going to cost a lot of money if they can only work at night. We said we'll play through the pounding, and it was pounding for a couple of years, and everybody cooperated. And I think that's important. We didn't think twice about that. The other issue is, it's been mentioned that in the courthouse, when somebody starts something, you have to find out where they have jurisdiction. And the question was asked, why the judges have the right, it's called standing, to come here and even complain or to ask a question? Because the county has the right to hire and fire. Well, as you found out back in July of last year, we were referred to as the supervisor of our clerks. So we have a right in that basis. We put input. We said back 9 months ago, there's $1.79 difference between, and we pointed out then with the corp counsel, not pointing a finger. We just thought that there might be parity. We said, then we put down what we thought their title should be, and it was a straightforward answer, and we thought 9 months ago that we'd have some response. And then a week ago, we found out, well, things were changing. Our clerks were going to be demoted with another title. I thought, well, maybe the title wasn't so important, but my sense is the title is very important. Not only the title, but also the how they're paid. The other suggestion was, well, let's just let it pass, and then there can be appeal. In our bailiwick, if you have an appeal, it means you lost. And so the sense is, if you pass this tonight, you're saying it's right, and anything that happens after that, if it's going to be appealed, is going to say, well, you were right tonight in passing it, and show us we were wrong. We think somehow, we're not knowing how this should be done, but the judges should be consulted. You should reflect on what's been said here and see whether or not this should be revisited. And I urge you to consider revisiting this. One of the basic rules a lawyer learns, if you can get if you can get your opponent to work with your documents, it's halfway there. Well, we're not wanting you to say it's okay and then have us to say your documents are wrong. We're saying don't go there yet. Review it. See whether or not the comments that are being made here have substance and whether or not we should take a look at it. And I want to just emphasize to end this. Anything we're saying is not an attempt to point fingers at anybody else. It is an attempt to get you to do what we think is right and proper. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Hi, my name is Carol Gonzalez, and I live at 5526 53rd Avenue. And I just have several questions and concerns tonight. I did want to say that we did not speak at the last committee meeting because we had no clue what the study revealed. We had no clue what the recommendations were. So it would have been kind of foolish for us to stand up and talk about something we didn't know about. So that's why none of us spoke at the last committee meeting. I guess one of my concerns are there are several title changes with the proposed study, and I don't know if you're aware of all of them. And there are several demotions for other employees, not just the judge's clerks. So I think all of those positions need to be looked at and further discussed between the committee before you make any decisions on one individual person. Question I had was, since the study showed that we are between 5 to 9 vacation, paid vacation days behind both public and private sector, I want to know why that isn't being addressed when financially it doesn't impact the county. And since it was brought out in the study, why isn't it being addressed? We've also tried to ask what certain groups, their new titles were going to be, and we kept getting the response, we don't know, we don't know. And I guess my question is, well, if personnel doesn't know, then who does know? And we would like maybe a sheet printed out that has current titles and what the new title would be under the changes of the study. And lastly, the market value of all of these positions is going to be reviewed annually. And so I guess my question is, who's going to do this? Is Siegel Waters doing it? And how much is this going to cost the taxpayers if they are? Because none of that was brought out when the presentation was, you know, placed before you. And I guess that's all I need to say. But I would really like you to consider all the employees that are impacted, title changes and demotions that are, you know, going to happen if this study recommendations are accepted. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Doug Noble. I'm a county supervisor. And at the last meeting, you know, I want to get on board with this plan, but at the last meeting there was an amendment made, and then we could only talk about the amendment. I want to talk kind of globally more about the report. The article in the paper said that the board balks at pay changes, and there's some things that I think needs to be addressed by the Oversight Committee, and I don't have an issue with the things that the people are talking about here, but on page 7 and 8, we compare favorably with the public sector with our current pay schedule, but on page 17, post-implementation, we are above the comparables and will set the bar regionally in the public sector. What precipitated the review, I'm asking the question, what precipitated the review with the private sector? And in trust in part, losing a department head a couple of years ago would have been one of the reasons. But that department head has returned to the employee, and did the committee interview in the confirmation interview this department head in the process, confirmation process, to find out why he returned? And there are others that have left the county and returned as well. Has the committee interviewed any of them? Did Siegel Waters interview any of them? Surely there is something to be learned as to why these employees leave and come back to the confines of county government. We could also interview other employees that have come from the private sector, coming from the county government, and find out, you know, why they came back. Perhaps there's something missing in this report. Job security, I don't see it addressed in this report at all. During the recession of 2009-2010, for every 1,000 employees in the private sector, 10% of them lost their job. How many, if any, lost their job during that great recession in Kenosha County? And how does that compare and reflect in this report? It looks to me, again, job security was sort of overlooked, and I think there should be a value assigned to job security. And in the third whereas of the resolution, if you look at the resolution, it says that the reason we contracted Siegel Waters Consulting is to conduct a survey of regional employers. In the public sector, they surveyed 18 employers who are listed as market comparators on page 4. But in the private sector, not one private sector employer is listed. So the report's merely, you know, refers to data sources, and I don't think that we need a consultant to refer to data sources. So I think that we need to have the consultant go back and do a survey of private sector employers. Because I don't think it satisfies the intent of the resolution. It clearly says that, you know, they were supposed to survey employers, not just public sector. And then regarding bonuses and incentives, on page 14 of the report, it says that even though the county's health insurance benefits cost are significantly higher than county than the private sector, it is offset by the lack of bonuses and incentive pay. The county does have a method to reward employees for special assignments, but more importantly, in the private sector, again in 2009, many of us that didn't get laid off, and I was fortunate I didn't get laid off, but my pay was reduced by 15% for 18 months. My point is that there can be bonuses, but these bonuses are offset by layoffs and pay cuts and lean years in the private sector. Just since Christmas, 250 employees have been laid off at CNH alone, and they're surely a valid regional comparator. I submit that the higher medical benefit costs are not offset by bonus and incentive pay, and the comparison should be reworked. The committee should know the impact over 5 years, not just 2 years. We got the number for half of 2015 and $336,000 for 2016, but what's the overall cost for 5 years? And that basically is it, but I do, without singling out any particular position, I did notice that several of the positions that go up significantly can only really be compared to public sector positions, such as the director of parks from 81 to 101,000, director of land information from 87 to 101,000, and there's others like chief medical examiner, county conservationist, correctional sergeant, things like that, that I don't really see where they would find something in the private sector. So I'll leave this with the committee. I think I do believe it's the job of a county supervisor to ask tough questions like this, and I further believe it's the job of the oversight committee to address those type of questions and get to the bottom of it. So thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Further nice comments?
You grab some nice stuff.
Go ahead.
I don't think so.
Harry Stacker, 1650 60th Avenue. Supervisors and committee members. Earlier today, I forwarded a series of emails to all of you concerning the proposed reclassification of my position in the county clerk's office. As stated in the email, Mary Krebs, clerk, who's out of town this week, is in complete agreement with the need to change the classification. While the emails provide more detail, here are the main reasons why the newly created part-time position in the county clerk's office was not classified correctly. My position was newly created in the 2015 budget and was not part of the study that was completed in 2014. The sole purpose of my position is to back up the chief deputy clerk and the deputy clerk in their absences, as well as provide daily assistance in the area of marriage license applications, passport applications, county board meeting coverage as needed, and many other duties. It is necessary for my position to be classified as a deputy clerk. If it is not, I will be unable to perform several of the functions that I've already been performing for the past 6 years, including marriage licenses, as the floating elected officials clerk. Every other elected official office in the administration building has two levels of staff, one chief deputy and all others as deputies. The county clerk's office is the only one that was assigned a third level, which is listed as two classifications lower than every other deputy clerk, down to an N4. If not amended, this position becomes ineffective for the purpose for which it was created, and furthermore, completely different than the position that was offered to me and which I accepted. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you. Next.
I'm Reggie Bachochin, 2416 28th Avenue. And just speaking on behalf of the county clerk's office, everything Sherry is saying is absolutely true. The reason we needed that position was because Edie and I needed that added help and backup since we've gotten so busy. If she's not categorized as a deputy county clerk, it's not serving the purpose it was meant to serve. And so I'm totally in agreement with everything that was said there. The other thing I just wanted to say is, this is my first time going through being at Kenosha County and seeing a job study done. Though I've been looking at past records that we've had over at the union office from the other study, which seemed a lot more transparent than this one does. I found listings of employees and what their job titles were and what their job titles, their new title would be, very clearly put out what the rate of pay would be and where they fit in. Whether they agree with it or not, it was clearly stated. The employees, most of the employees have been very confused and worried. This room might not be as full had it been clear to them. So that's just a concern that I have, is I didn't understand what the rush was of not making it clear to the employees where they stand. I think that's it.
Thank you. Next.
My name is Chad Bischoff, 4501 81st Street. I'm a current member of the Highway Department. The study information just kind of came to our table at the Highway Department as Friday. Basically, the paper told us what was going on. No information was ever given to any of us about the study, even though we filled out countless forms regarding our position at the Highway Department and our job duties on a daily basis. We currently work under three different pay scales. The job requirements are the same. We're required to be on call 24/7 for 5 months out of the year. Includes holidays, you know, christenings, birthday parties. You got to miss it. It's our job. Now, that's one of the things many of the people at the Highway Department take pride in, is being there that 5 months to keep the roads open and safe during the Christmas and holiday seasons. The problem we're understanding is there's three different pay scales for the same job. Now, one of the pay scales has been established for 20 plus years from the last contract. I can go as far back as I can see. It's topped out at the NE7, I believe it is now classified as. Myself, I just started 4 years ago, so I'm classified NE5. So I will never actually be able to reach the NE7 category under this current new study with the wages. We ask simply that you kind of unify our jobs, since we do the same thing on a daily basis. There is no difference from one person to the next. Our job involves many dangerous things and some not so dangerous things. But dodging traffic on I-94, I'm sure you've all been down it, Green Bay Road during rush hour, Highway 50 anytime, that's our job. Our job is to be in the middle of that, making sure that you guys can get to go where everybody else is trying to get to safely. Now, it's hard for me to go home and tell my family that, yes, my life is worth $4, $5, or in some cases, when I started, $15 compared to somebody at 26. My life is worth less because I'm in this new category they just suddenly created. So it could bring a lot more unity to our job. Our way of life at the highway department is this pay scale, because it separates us on so many different levels for the same things. I just want to bring that to your attention, folks. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next. Further citizen comments?
My name is Annie Burns. I live at 209 West Wisconsin in Silver Lake. I'm also a proud member of the highway department. And I was at the committee meeting when Mr. Roshi brought forth the letter from the judges, which I would also like to compliment the judges to be here to support your assistance. That's I don't think you know what that means, to be appreciated. When that study came forward, you compared, and the judges had brought it up today, that the two jobs they do comparable work, but they're not at the same pay level. Whereas ourselves, we're doing the same work. Not comparable, the same. Day in, day out. And we're not comparable in pay. So when the study came out and we're two pay grades below where, you know, the people that have been there for a long time, we understand we're not asking for that right now. We want the opportunity to be able to earn that money. I understand, I don't expect that tomorrow, boom, you're at the top of the scale. That's not what we're saying. We want the opportunity to get there. One of the supervisors said at the meeting that if you're going to do it for the nine people at the courthouse, then you're going to have to do it for everybody. I'm asking for that consideration. You looked at them, you compared what they do compared to the people on higher scale, and it's similar. I'm here telling you, I'm two pay grades below the guys that I'm doing the same work as on a daily basis. So that's just what I was asking for, that you give us the same consideration that, you know, you're giving the people down at the courthouse. Thank you.
Thank you. Further citizen comments? Further citizen comments?
Greg Retzloff, I'm a county supervisor. I wasn't quite prepared for these many people to be here because I was going to address one of the biggest, the 800-pound gorilla that we're talking about is the health plan. You know, that's my business. And I have a lot of questions from the survey that we got from our consultants about how they looked at things. I'm going to talk a few things, but I really wonder why we have to, can't we put this whole decision on hold and bring this health plan into with other benefits to have a full discussion. The health plan has been pushed aside. They don't want to talk about it. And it's got massive differences from the private sector. One of the things in the report, just roughly I showed you, is they tried to compare contributions. They didn't talk about anything else. They just talked about how much each employee pays compared to the private sector. And one of the things that they didn't talk about was the health plan itself. Out-of-pocket expenses, deductibles compared to the private sector, there's no comparison because we don't have any. The county health plan has no deductibles or co-pays. The average co-pay and deductible in the private sector is $1,500 to $2,000. Out-of-pocket is close to $4,000. We don't have that. So when we're talking about a compensation structure, I think we have to look at these issues. The only thing that the health plan has when you're in the network is some slight co-pays. That's it. The consultant did not put that in. So it only looks like we're 9% off on premium adjustments compared to the private sector. Our contributions could be argued that way. But one of the most, the thing that really skews that off is our dental plan is totally contributory. It's a very thick, rich dental plan. And the family rate for one of the dental plans is $119.13 a month. That's more than three of the health plan family rates. Where do you ever hear about a dental plan that's more expensive than your health plan? That's what we have here. Because it's been convoluted in how its contribution levels have worked over time. So it's very unfair to our employees to have these different scales based on wellness. It's based on having different deductibles apply on out-of-network expenses that are very low too. I'm just trying to make a point here is that we need to review this along with everything else because this is a huge expense to this county, huge. And to just not look at this, do something with the wages, and I'm not against that, but just to ignore this big piece without considering it seems not right to me. So, we could have long discussions on this because it's got a lot of moving parts. I've left you some things, but I really thought that wasn't appropriate in that report to not just even talk about those expenses. It just talked about only the employee's contribution and our contribution to the premium part of it, not the out-of-pocket expenses, the dental plans, strange contribution schedule, and all that. So, just wanted to bring that to your attention. I left you a couple things. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Further citizen comments?
Kelly Collins, 3128 60th Street. I didn't prepare anything, but I'm just going to talk about how this affects me because everybody's talking negatively about it. I want you to know some good in it. A little backstory about me. I live in a neighborhood where my car's been broken into three times in the past 6 months, once before Christmas, once on my birthday in January, once last night. I got up for work this morning and found my car had been broken into. My dog was killed before Christmas because somebody wanted my property. That's the neighborhood that I live in, and I can't even afford to live in that neighborhood on my pay grade, on my own. I can only afford it because I'm a two-income household. Now, my fiancé is a correctional officer. He's a very high-risk job. If anything were to happen to him, me and my two sons, we would have nowhere to be. We have just us. I make $13.25 an hour, and I can't raise two kids on that, and I'm very good with money. I've been doing this for 1 year, and I love my job. I love the ladies I work with. I love the work. It keeps me interested. It's busy. I absolutely adore it. I don't want to have to change it. If this whole thing gets denied or picked apart too much and it gets decided that you're not going to go through with it, my pay scale doesn't change at all and I can't maintain this job because I can't maintain my life like that. Not just about me, is new hires coming in will make the same rate that I do, and people, you know, getting out of college looking for careers, they don't want a career that they can't live off of or that they're going to be living paycheck to paycheck. Now, I'm very good with money and even I have issues with it. I've always been good with it. The reason I'm okay now is I came into it with a five-figure savings account because I had a very good job before. But I moved that so I could spend time with my family. I was a second shifter and now I'm a first shifter. I don't want you guys to hear all the negatives and overlook the positives. If if it stays the same, people are going to come in, realize the job duties of the job, how busy it is, how intense it is, and they're not going to stay. They're going to go and they're going to look for something that is about the same, what they want to do, but at a higher rate, which the study shows around here you can find that. With new hires coming in, it doesn't just affect them, but it affects the courthouse, the system, because things get lost when you're training and then that person leaves and then the person that's still learning the job has to train somebody else and then that person, it just, the turnover, it's gonna destroy, you know, how things are done. Mistakes are gonna be made even more so. It's gonna be more complicated than it should be. And on top of that, it's going to cost the county more money to keep hiring new people because then they have to go through the hiring process and everything that goes on with it. I just don't want you guys to overlook the good in this study because of all the negatives that are coming out of it. There is a lot of good in it, and it is going to help a lot of people in the future. I know there's people above me that aren't happy with it, but there is good in it. There are me, a couple coworkers, and anybody that wants to work for the courthouse, you know, that wants to work for the county, is going to get this pay scale that it's just, it's difficult. And I like that the study studied what we do on a daily basis, our job descriptions, and they made a fair pay scale. Now, I can't speak to people above me. I don't know what they do all day, every day. But in my classification, it is fair, and it helps. And it doesn't just help me. It helps everybody in my classification, and it also helps anybody that's working for the county in the future.
Thank you. Further comments?
Terry?
Yes.
I forgot one thing.
Sure.
It was at the county board meeting. I didn't see anything that talks about an appeal. Like the past, there's been a way to, you know, through whatever, and people still have concerns, or supervisors. But if there can be set up some appeal process, some way to, I guess, appeal.
Thank you. Further citizens? Some comments? All right, if you're seeing none, then we'll close the section of the meeting and proceed with the next item on the agenda. I have no report. Do any committee members have any reports? Seeing none, then the next item is the resolution to approve or amend the classification study. Discussion from the committee.
Through the chair, I'd like to ask Mr. Riedel about the plan. I know it's extensive, a lot of time and effort was put into it. However, it doesn't stand. So the question Reggie brought up, what if it's agreed to tonight and we find that there are problems, what is the to deal with those problems?
We have always had a county government reclassification appeal process. And so what happens is that you put your concerns into anything that comes my office, and we investigated them. And if it turns out to be something that needs to result in an adjustment in wages, then that is proposed through the county executive's budget.
And it's does that come back before finance?
Yes.
As recommended, or what if it's not recommended? Does it still come to finance?
If the reclassification is not placed in the county board's budget, it's not. Comes back as part of the county assessment. Okay.
And I've heard a lot of, you know, we've all heard a lot of comments tonight, and I question myself about, you know, the question's been raised. If you do it for one group, do you have to do it for the other? But I've personally only saw one group here that had the support of all our, I don't know if you call it department heads, the judges, or what. And to me, that's very encouraging to see that kind of support. And I think the Finance Committee should really take that into consideration, and they should come to this meeting with an open mind, not have their mind made up as to what they're going to do. And with that, I would like to make a motion to raise the deputy clerk court from NE5 to NE6.
Is there a second? I will second that. Discussion? Karen?
So I don't disagree with, based on the feedback that we got from the judges and the letters, I think there is definitely a discrepancy in that position, and probably others that have been getting letters and emails. So just kind of where I'm at, I don't agree with that process, but I agree that there is a discrepancy there. I think, in my opinion, this should be sent back to the consultant. I'm for the study. I'm for raising the pay to make us more competitive. I think it's a good thing, but just listen to the comments, reading the emails I've gotten. If the goal of the study is to make us more competitive, to attract, keep employees, and we're going to maybe, it seems to me like we're harming like half the employees, or half the employees are maybe unhappy about this in the current study. I think we should get it right on the front end. I mean, I know there's an appeal process. To me, I think we have time. I think we have 2 months. I'm not saying it would take that long, but the pay wouldn't go into effect, I believe, until July 1st. I don't think we have to rush this through, but I personally would like to see it come from the consultant and review anywhere we've got discrepancies to go back and look at it. I'm a real estate broker. Some of you know I do a lot of broker price opinions and basically valuing homes for larger companies, and I'm doing quite a lot of them right now, and a lot of times I get questions saying that we don't agree with your value on this one property. So I go back and I look at it, and sometimes I agree with them and I change it and I send it back, and sometimes I don't. And I have to defend my methodology, my analysis, and I think I don't want to see us pick apart the study and say, for this group, I think it's a bad precedent. I think we go back to the consultant and say, defend your position here. We've got 8 judges, 9 judges that disagree. There's obviously a discrepancy, and do it that way and come back and pass. I'd like us to see pass the whole thing or don't pass the whole thing, but I think we've set a bad process by picking out one. But I don't agree. It sounds like tonight, it sounds like it's wrong. So that's my recommendation, and that's why I didn't second it. So thanks.
Further discussion? Kim?
The agency that I work for is in the middle of doing a class and compensation study, just as the county did. I am the HR manager over there, and I can tell you it's a very, very difficult job to do. Trying to find all of the information that Siegel Waters did is, I'm not an expert on it. I have to go outside and I have to find the information. We don't have the money that the county does to do our compensation study, so What has been presented to the county is amazing. I don't think that there's anyone in this room that can say that they are an expert on compensation. And looking at the study that was done, Bob is probably the closest one to that. And I think every year we spend a lot of money on doing studies that the board has asked to do or the county has asked us to do. Every year we get these studies back and they end up on a shelf because we're too afraid to pull the plug and do them. This one has been pushed for several years. Even the employees have asked for a compensation study. I think we need to look at it and let personnel do their job. I understand that there are some discrepancies, but I think that that's the personnel's department to look at those and not the board.
John?
In the study that you had, I want to refer to the supervisor's comments about the insurance piece of it. And from the sound of some of the conversations that we've had tonight, you picked out a consultant who was apparently vented amongst many of them, I'm sure. I don't know how many you went through to get to the one you got. Number one, do you feel like you spent $170,000?
Absolutely. Here are the advantages that Siegel Waters brought to Kenosha County when we did this analysis. The first, and maybe most important, is they have a huge repository of private sector information. Private sector information is generally proprietary. It is difficult to get private employers to tell you what they pay people, what their insurance plans are like, how many days off they get. Quite frequently, and those are individually negotiated with people. And so to find out where we rank in the private sector, which was really important to the county board when we brought this up, there has been multiple references throughout the course of my career, particularly during the union years, but even after that, to make sure that we were competitive with the private market. And so that repository of information was a big deal for us because it has all the stuff. The second thing about them that was very important is they are huge in the pharmaceutical industry. And the largest employer in Kenosha County is Abbott Laboratories. When you talk about compensation packages, you have to consider them. And they have their finger on the pulse of that particular business organization. They were willing to do up to 20 private sector surveys. That's very large for us. Including Waukegan and Lake County, and you know that Waukegan and Lake County impact significantly what we have to pay for employees if they want to come to work. They're an international company. They have a huge reputation. And that is why we chose them to do this study.
The other point is the gentleman here with the three pay schedules in the
yeah.
highway department. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Over the course of our experience with the highway department, we have had kind of an interesting negotiating history. He's right. There are different levels of wages. They are the result of three negotiations of contracts. The last contract was not approved and came like 6 weeks before Act 10 was passed, and we converted to a policies and procedures method of doing things. Prior to that, we had attempted to negotiate a shared responsibility between parks and highways, and we called it DPW labor or something like that. And as a result of a grievance, settled that at a price that was not consistent with the long-term employees and not consistent with newly hired employees, and rather fit that middle. This is an important study from this perspective of finding out just exactly what the market requires for us to pay people with their talent. There's no question that they do great work, and there's no question that we need them, and there's no question that I don't want to be awakened at 2:00 in the morning and go out and work. But the ways of the past put people in wage categories that everyone who's been here a long time knows was number one in the state. Our highway department was the highest paid highway department in the state at the time that collective bargaining ended in this state. And so, yes, there are some people earning a pretty good dollar. We also found out, though, that we were underpaying for our starting salaries. And so the proposal includes, I think it's about $18.5 to start. And that puts us in a competitive position in this market for highway position. And so, and unfortunately, they do have to work under those circumstances. Fortunately, the proposal does not ask for anyone to give up wages. And so if you benefited from a grievance resolution that happened toward the end of the collective bargaining area, you get to keep that wage, even though the top end of the wage may not be that high. If you benefited from a $26 an hour wage, which is right around as high as it gets, on the last collectively bargained contract, you don't lose that money either. I think that respects the way we had to do business in those years, and I think that the new wage scale, as proposed by the consultant, respects what they do and how much it takes to get good people to do that. And you'll find that, you'll find a lot of that is in this study, a lot of correction from the days when we collectively bargained contracts.
And you did mention there is really a basically appeal system in place now.
Yes.
Further discussion? Rick?
I'd just like to make a point. I abstained at the county board meeting from the advice of Corporation Counsel that had a family member that worked for the county. Corporation Counsel did get back to me yesterday and said, this study does not involve my family member, so I can discuss it and I can vote on it, just so everybody knows why I'm right. Okay?
Thank you. Ryan?
I didn't second the motion to change it because I'll be bringing to wonder what, from what I can read from this, they're already getting $1.07 increase. So I'm trying to figure out why is that a demotion? Secondly, if you look at, and I want to thank the clerk's office for providing this information because it shows that while 9 employees are going down, and by the way, as you said, they will not take a cut, the rest of them are getting increases anywhere between $3 to $3.70. I'm looking at the number differences here. So 9 employees are going down. I do recognize the problem in the highway department having two categories, and I think that can be addressed because I think it needs to be addressed, but I think we can do that in the future. Look at the management positions, and there are some there that are going down. But I don't think we can, you know, and the girl, the young lady who came up earlier was saying, obviously she's in a position that's going to go up. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but obviously she's going to get an increase. So people are getting increases. These clerks are not getting a decrease. And if there's some reason why we should change it, then I think the appeal process ought to do that. So that's why I didn't second the motion. And I'm ready to vote to send this to the county board as it is.
All right, further discussion? Further discussion? Yeah.
Okay. This is not an enviable position to be in. I, as a county board supervisor, as chairman of the county board, have taken a lot of pride in the employees that work for the county. And I have tried my best to support each and every employee, no matter what their job is, what their classification is, and where they work. Okay, I've been available through phone, through email, never hesitated to talk to people. This is very trying to be sitting here listening to all this, because my heart is wrenched in different directions. What I want to focus on at the beginning of my conversation here is the big picture. Okay, I mean, we as a county board wanted this study. I think these studies are very important. It goes back to when I was a city alderman in the 90s. I wanted studies like this to make sure that the employees were being compensated fairly. And I've always looked at these numbers and studies as the way to do that. So I supported this. I know we all did. We all asked for this. And it's hard to get it and then, you know, have certain people come out and say, well, this isn't right or this isn't right. Well, this is a big study and it's a big picture. So that's something we have to keep in mind as well. I want to talk a little bit about, you talked about an appeal process. Now, somebody writes a letter to you, you study it, and then if it looks like it has merit, you bring it forward. If not, it's not brought forward. Why don't you take a quick second and explain that process clearly and simply to me?
In circumstances where, in particular, managers believe that their employees or a group of their employees or even a single employee somehow requires an adjustment in wage, that information is brought to me. It is my responsibility to study it and to find out just exactly where the differences are. We have job descriptions. We have placement in the county pay plan. We believe we know, or at least the experts have advised us on what an employee is paid. There are circumstances that we don't maybe have known about, or maybe long-term circumstances we haven't known about, that would come up in any intensive investigation. Then it's turned over to finance. Finance takes a look at it from their perspective. And then it is turned to the county executive, who will make a decision and discuss it with the department head and put it in the budget.
So is this done at budget time during
generally
the process?
Yeah.
Budget process.
Which starts in about 6 weeks.
So there's not a real appeal process per se. It's reviewed and then dealt with at budget time. Is that correct?
It comes out in the county executive's budget.
So there's not. It's done through the process. So there's not an appeal process. It's done through the.
Well, the appeal
it's
is
done
made,
through the.
The appeal is made through my office and the administration. The appeal is made to the county executive in my office.
Okay. When are the changes that we're talking about in the study? Should it be approved? When would that take effect?
Right now, we're looking at July 1st.
So even before any budget, before the budget is brought out for this upcoming year, they would take effect in July.
Whatever you pass in the recommendations will, at the moment, there is somewhat of an adjustment to, you know, it can be moved one way or the other. More likely later than sooner.
Have you reviewed some of the statements that have been made from the individuals that have come here?
I've had many conversations.
Okay.
I've had conversations with the judiciary. I understand where they're at. I've had conversations with the county clerk. I've had county clerk of courts. We are aware of many of the concerns that were brought up today.
Okay. What is your opinion on them?
Well, it is my responsibility to investigate each one of them on their own merits. Now, I haven't had time since the study came out.
Since we began.
So.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll listen to more talk.
Anyone else, Ron?
I'd like to make one other point. It was mentioned earlier that the clerks had the judges here for them. I would suspect that the department heads who work for the county executive might have something to say, but they work for the county executive. The judges work for the judges. They work for themselves. So I would imagine there are some department heads, and I've heard from some, but they can't because they work for the county executive. So I'm sure you'll be hearing from them, especially in the highway department. That's really glaring, okay, because that didn't make any sense. But I think we got to approve this thing and get it through, get the employees their raise, and then work with it best we can. Thank you.
All right, further discussion? Further discussion? All right, seeing none, then we'll take a vote on Supervisor Dodge's proposal to place the legal secretaries in Category 6 instead of the current 5, and we'll do that on voice vote or roll call. Jeff?
No.
Kim?
No.
Ron?
No.
Aaron?
No.
Rick?
Yes.
John?
No.
Myself, yes. So it fails. Further discussion?
I would move that we propose the plan as presented to the county board originally as it is in place right now.
I'll second that.
All right, further discussion?
You can make an amendment.
Aaron.
Can I make a motion to table this?
Absolutely. Is that your motion?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. The motion to table is non-debatable. We'll do a roll call again. Jeff?
No.
Kim?
No.
Ron?
No.
Aaron?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
John?
No.
Yes. It fails 4-3. All right, is there further discussion? No, I'll call a vote. Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote here. Jeff?
It's got to start with me.
Yes.
Yes, it starts with you.
Kim?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Aaron?
No.
Rick?
Yes.
John?
Are we voting on no?
On the resolution.
On the resolution?
Yes.
Myself, no.
I make darn sure.
Passes 5-2. Further discussion on any other items to come before the committee this evening?
Will we adjourn?
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Jeff,
I'm setting the doormat up for you.
Laura? Yeah.